Hello and welcome. You're listening to the Reaper Podcast, recorded live on November 23rd, 2017. I'm one of your hosts, Joel Rinke, and you're joined by Adam Seckley.
Hello.
And Mr. Drake.
Hi.
No Jordan this week.
No, we got rid of him.
Yes, he's been absent for, he's going to be absent for what, another 2 weeks or so?
I think so. Last I heard he was fishing.
Fishing?
Yeah.
Jordan fishing.
Yeah, I can't often picture him outside.
He doesn't strike me as the guy who would go fishing, to be honest.
No, I don't know if it was up to him.
Unless he's playing a fishing game, I suppose, yeah.
Fishing for loot crates.
Yes. Remember, if you are listening live and you can't stick around for the whole show, you can pick up where you left off on the following Monday on our iTunes, Wooshka, and YouTube page. Links which can be found on Facebook page at facebook.com/replayAU. Coming up on the show, we have the second interview that Mitch and Jordan did for Supernova. A brief talk about the microtransaction thing, because we don't want to go too much into it. Mitch doesn't want to go too much into it.
It's 6 weeks.
Yeah. It's the hot topic that is happening right now, and it's escalating from this point on.
Yeah.
And you don't want to mention it at all.
It's only getting bigger.
Exactly.
All right, we'll go for as long as it...
No, we'll do 20 minutes. Set a timer for 20 minutes, and we'll bog down from that.
All right.
And the final thing we're covering is the Game Awards that is happening very shortly. But first, what have you been playing this week?
Not a whole lot. I've been pretty sick, so pretty much only really League of Legends this week.
Yep.
Haven't really played much of that either. Maybe like 10 or so games.
Have your games been negatively affected by your level of sick?
I'm going to say yes, but not really. Just for the excuse of losing. But,
okay, so essentially you were just always that bad.
Yeah,
okay.
Much. No, it's my teammates.
Okay.
Yeah, as always.
You, Mitch?
I've, since finishing Mario, I've gotten back into Zelda.
Okay.
I've beaten my third of the Divine Beasts this week.
How many Divine Beasts are there?
Four.
Yeah.
And I was sitting on two for the longest time.
Are they hard to beat or something? Or?
No, I just, it was lazy.
getting head shakes. No, they're not.
No, they're not hard. And I've been playing usual stuff like Heroes and Hearthstone and just picking up games wherever I can.
You've left the last beast, like the most useful beast till last, though.
I've heard that.
Yeah.
I've heard that. I've done the camel, the salamander, and the elephant.
Yeah.
And I don't know where the last beast is. Is it that giant airship?
What do they do?
It's the airship. Oh,
they give
good.
You different abilities. So, like, you get an extra, so you can have, like, a shield or you have extra life.
Yeah.
The flying one, it gives you, just shoots you up in the air. So, it's really good for accessing places because you don't have to climb. Saves you, like, 2 minutes of climbing.
And you didn't do that one first?
I don't know.
Most accessible thing you could do.
I went into this without any research.
Uh-huh.
All right? So I started playing this game without researching anything. I found out today after watching a YouTube video that you can get a house.
Yeah.
Like, that's insane.
Okay. Very nice. I haven't been playing too many games, to be honest. I've just been sticking to the usual League of Legends. Mm-hmm. I jumped on Gary's mod. I played Hand of Fate 2,
yep.
The Sims 4. I've just been listing, just playing many different games. I just can't find a game to lock down and play.
Oh, you're at that point in your holiday mode?
I am, yeah. But I've been watching The Breaking Bad.
The Breaking Bad?
Breaking Bad, sorry. The Breaking Bad. It is the show at the moment for me.
Okay.
I watched up to season 3 and then I stopped. And now I'm getting back into the show. And
are you starting at season 1 or are you?
I started from season 1 because there's no way I would start from where I was.
What made you get into that now?
Because I got Stan and it's on Stan.
Okay.
And I thought, you know what?
You know there are better shows on Stan, right?
No, there's not.
There is.
Have you seen Breaking Bad? This is like the show.
Community's on Stan.
Yeah. So it's Parks and Rec.
Parks
and all
Rec.
That stuff, yeah. I know, there's a lot of stuff
okay,
there.
Okay.
Can we start with this one before you start, making accusations of what's the best show on the entire Stan?
Yeah, fair enough. Sorry for jumping down your throat there.
But that's what I've been watching.
Yeah.
I'm season 4, halfway through.
Okay.
Getting
well
close.
Done.
Yes. And that's what I've been playing and watching.
Good.
And now? For your interview that you
I didn't
Jordan
interview
did.
Him, it was Jordan's
well,
interview.
You were there with him.
I was filming it and recording it, yes.
Okay. So it was last week or the week before?
Week before. Supernova.
That you went to Supernova.
Yep. We got to interview a whole bunch of people. We're just slowly drip feeding you guys all the interviews as they come through. Last week was Will, who did the voice of Ron Stoppable in Kim Possible, which was kind of cool. And this week was Fedor Chin, the wonderful voice of Zenyatta.
And here it is now.
So we're here with Fedor Chin, a great voice actor and an actor that features in many of your favorite games, including Overwatch's Zenyatta and Mudbug from World of Warcraft.
Experience tranquility.
How are you today?
I'm great. Great. Really enjoying. This is my first time in Australia. So yeah, really enjoying myself.
Do you get time to do much sightseeing?
I haven't yet. Next week we're going to the one park where you get to hold a koala, and I'm looking forward to that very much.
Cool. So what got you interested in the whole acting kind of genre? Was it when you were young?
I'd say back in high school, I remember reading Death of a Salesman and a lot of the great plays, and seeing performances of that, and thinking that's really something I'd love to do myself. And that's probably where the seed got planted. But then, you know, I went to UCLA and studied acting there, and kept going at it since then.
So did your passion for voice acting grow further into your career, or was it like there from the beginning?
I think I actually started voice acting around the same time I was doing on-camera work, and I still do both. It was kind of always there, but I think what I really appreciate about voice acting is you get to play a lot of characters that you wouldn't ordinarily get to on camera, because, you know, what you look like doesn't really play into it.
So how did you get to know the guys at Blizzard? Like, are they cool guys to work for?
Oh, they're the best. Yeah, if you ever get the opportunity, I highly recommend it. Yeah, well, you never know. Because, they're always looking for new talent. I probably auditioned like everyone else, and I first worked on World of Warcraft, Mists of Pandaria, and that was probably my first game with them. And when they were casting that, I read for a couple different roles there, and one of which happened to be Zenyatta, and that was the one I ended up getting. So.
Yeah, so do you have a favorite character you've voiced over your career, or is there one that you dream of doing one day?
It was pretty cool to get to play Master Splinter in the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Out of the Shadows. That was, I think, the most recent video game version. It felt like I was kind of playing an iconic role there, and so that's definitely up there. That was a good time.
When did you find out you had a talent to create different voices?
I guess that was probably also...
Did it just come naturally?
A bit. I mean, I always felt like I had a pretty good ear for, accents and that kind of thing. And so in high school, I did a lot of, you read the announcements, in homeroom, that kind of thing. I don't have as wide a range as some folks do. But I feel like, the things I can do, I do pretty well.
So I noticed a lot of the Overwatch voice actors especially do a lot of really fun and cool stuff on social media.
Right.
Do you guys like know all each other, or you just meet each other at events like this?
We all met there was a rap party basically about a year after Overwatch was first released. And that's where we first met. And, speaking of those videos, that's where Johnny Cruz, I don't know if you saw those, we were on the Blizzard campus, and he was kind of making these little videos with everybody in character, and that was the first. Those were the first of those videos, and those kind of went viral.
Yeah.
And I remember when we were there at the time, I was like, "What is this guy doing? Like, this is, you know." But he really kind of had a vision that, it really, I think, helped to for the fans to like really kind of,
see who's behind the voice.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. But since then, we actually do. We might not all hang out regularly, but certainly when we go to conventions, and we just had the second year wrap party actually about last week. It's always nice to see these guys, because, not only are they really talented, but everybody's just really cool, and it's a good time to hang out with them.
So do you consider yourself a gamer? Do you play many of the games that you voiced in?
I have an Xbox, and I used to play a lot of Halo. I really enjoy Halo, and some Grand Theft Auto. I'm more of a button masher, and so I'm not really good with the intricate stuff. Yeah. So I did play Overwatch once with Josh Petersdorf. He voices Roadhog, and he plays all the time. He loves it.
Oh, wow.
He has a Twitch channel, I think.
And
so I will say I did beat him, but he did let me win. So,
So is there a particular process you go through for creating a voice for a character?
Well, I think, you know, other than the usual stuff, like if there's, you know, where they're from or, you know, what type of accent, that would be, you know, the initial layer. But then after that, it's, well, what is driving this character? Like, what do they want? And where is, like, Zenyatta, for example, he's a robot monk who I think is striving to be more human, but he's also filled with a certain Zen-like, you know, piece, and I think that definitely informs the performance. Yeah. It's very, you know, relaxing. And, you know, so, yeah.
Do you have a favorite voice line from Overwatch?
My own lines, I'd have to say, I dreamt I was a butterfly. Always struck me as very, like, kind of zen and kind of funny, too. So I like that for sure.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time. It was a pleasure to meet you. Awesome.
And that was your time at Supernova.
Yeah. I'm really enjoying these little weekly reminders that we got the amazing opportunity to do that.
I am still so jealous.
There's more. There'll be more. You know there'll be more.
Yes. Who are we going to listen to or hear next week?
We're going to listen to Paul. I can't remember his last name. Nakaguchi.
You're saving the two best ones that I want to hear.
Yeah, we are.
For last. So, are you just trying to...
Just Paul, to build up the suspense.
Yeah. Mm. Well, Paul Nakaguchi was the voice of Hanzo.
Yes.
He also played Watari in the live-action Death Note remake.
Wait, which one was Watari?
The old man who helped out.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. I watched that the other day and it was actually really, really good.
I'm sorry, what?
You gotta step back. It's not about Death Note as a movie. It was actually better than I expected. But his performance was actually really good.
You've seen the Death Note movie, right?
I have not.
Okay.
Have you?
Yes.
I saw the reviews and I was like, I might pass on this one.
It was different.
There were so many things that they just left out and just jumped straight into where you were like, why?
Oh,
is this a thing?
Don't think about it as
the
same thing.
And the music choice in a lot of the scenes were just...
Garbage, yes.
Yes. At least you understand with that point.
Because I watched it after interviewing him, and I didn't realize he was in it.
Mm.
I'm like, I know that guy. How do I know that guy?
I think I sat down and watched like half of them. My mate came over, and he watched the other half of it with me.
Yeah.
And then... We were just going over, like, theories and loopholes and plot points and
so
the entire thing.
So much terrible.
It was hilarious. So,
but
I don't recommend.
He did an amazing job as Hanzo.
Yes, he did.
And I'm keen to bring the interview next week.
Yeah, looking forward to that one.
Yeah.
Jumping into this week's, though.
Yes, let me get my timer ready.
Set the timer. This is the microtransaction.
What are we talking about?
This is EA and continuing on the microtransactions that have been happening
okay.
this past week.
So this is an update, really, isn't it?
Yes, yeah. An update where it's kind of escalated to more serious matters rather than just a whole fan base of Reddit users going, we don't like this.
Yeah.
So last week, EA Chief Executive Officer Andrew Wilson had a phone call with Walt Disney's Consumer Products and Interactive Media Chairman Jimmy Pitaro about Star Wars Battlefront 2. From this, just a few hours later of this phone call, the microtransaction scandal from within this game was removed altogether.
Yes.
They were not happy.
No. So it was this whole speculation of Disney had this high authority to say, don't put this in the game. So they took it out. So EA came out with a statement. I don't know if I should read through the entire statement.
Yeah, go for it. You've got a while.
Okay.
Because this is actually very important to video game culture and development as a whole, really.
This was the statement that EA came out with.
Okay.
Thank you to everyone in our community for being the passionate fans that you are. Our goal has always been to create the best possible game for all of you, devoted Star Wars fans and gamers. Game players alike.
Game players?
Yes.
Okay.
Continue on. You can critique as much as you like from this. I copied and pasted straight from the thing.
Okay.
We've also had an ongoing community to constantly listen, tune, and evolve the experiences as it grows. You've seen this with both the major adjustments and polish, and we have made over the last several weeks. But as we approach the worldwide launch, it's clear that many of you feel that there are still challenges in the design. We've heard the concerns about potentially giving players unfair advantages. And we've heard that this overshadowing an otherwise great game. Yes. There's a full stop there. Now I'm critiquing.
It's okay.
This was never our intention. Sorry, we didn't get this right. We hear you loud and clear, so we're turning off in-game purchases. We will now spend more time listening, adjusting, balancing, and tuning. That's what they've been saying this entire game time.
Yeah.
This means that the option to purchase crystals in the game is now offline, and all progression will be earned through the game.
So they've not adjusted the rate at which you earn?
Nope.
No. So it's literally a pay-to-win game with all the paying parts gone.
Correct.
So it's going to be grindy as all hell.
It's still very much grindy. It's still there.
Yep.
The ability to purchase crystals in-game will be available at a later date.
I like that. That's in bold and underlined.
Yes.
Yes.
Because as much as they are saying we have removed this entire microtransactions from our game, it's safe to buy the game now. You can play the game.
Yeah.
But we'll add that in a bit later down the track.
Yeah.
Yeah, once everyone gets sick of the grinding.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, it's more like...
Once all the heat's off us.
It's the trap.
Yeah.
You know, if we don't have it anymore, you can come join us, then they'll just join it in and you just destroy it from that. Only after we've made changes to the game. We'll share more details as we work through this. We had created a game that was built on your input and will continue to evolve and grow. Star Wars Battlefront 2 is 3 times the size of the previous game, bringing to life a brand new Star Wars story. Space battles, epic new multiplayer experiences across all 3 Star Wars eras, with more free content to come. We want you to enjoy it, so please keep your thoughts coming, and we'll keep you updated on our progress.
Okay, so this is a bit better than the last time they addressed the audience?
Yeah, they said they were like, we just monetize your games, and we'll go from there. That's all it said in the entire Reddit AMA.
Yeah, it's become very... jaded, and a lot of people are reacting to this in quite interesting ways. Like, we were talking just before the show on Reddit, there's pictures of like Targets in the States with no one having sold a copy. I think EA has royally stuffed up, and they're going to see this as a financial drop, and we might not get another Star Wars game as a result for a while.
That's the issue, though. There may not be a financial drop with them.
Yeah.
As much as people aren't buying this game or they've cancelled pre-orders and stuff, they actually stated that it won't affect their 2018 fiscal year financially.
But they're still higher up than they were last year.
They are.
Yeah.
So as much as this game is taking a flop with a lot of people, they still have all this other stuff in the market that won't affect them financially.
Okay.
But this is more of a statement saying, we don't like microtransactions. Please take it out of the game. We don't need this. There was another post that was on Reddit just recently, which showed the new Need for Speed Payback, I think.
Yeah.
And they showed an actual slot machine style gameplay.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that's how you earn your parts in your
game? Yes, this isn't gambling at all.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, I saw that too. And it's becoming, I don't know, it's really weird. It feels like we've won something, but I feel like they're kind of letting us feel that way.
Yes. The final thing I want to note here is that there are 2 major things that happened with Belgium?
Yes. Belgium.
Belgium?
Yeah.
Okay.
Good. I'm glad you didn't try and say a different country.
And Hawaii.
Hawaii? Yeah.
Hawaii.
The Belgium thing was actually a mistranslation.
Right.
So that's actually been redacted.
Okay.
So don't do the Belgium story.
Okay, no worries. I had the Hawaii story from this point on, so don't you worry.
Okay.
Hawaii, Chris Lee, a politician member of the Hawaii House of Representatives, published a statement in regards to the EA and micro-gambling. And he was all aboard for the whole thing, that's saying that micro-gambling is wrong, that this is a Star Wars game, a AAA title that is targeted towards kids, and they are trying to promote gambling.
Yes.
And he is all for the whole idea of trying to get the... I hear a delay for some reason. I hear a delay of myself, someone's headphones for some reason.
What do you mean?
I just hear this. Sorry. I hear the stream going.
You're not used to this studio, are you?
No, I'm not. I hear a delay somewhere going on.
Just turn your headphones up. It's fine.
Sorry.
So yes, the commission for gambling in Hawaii.
Yes, yep. Because the gambling there is you need to be 21 or over.
Yes.
So they are trying to allow to stop a ban from kids from buying these games, or to stop from gambling happening in these games altogether within Hawaii.
Mm.
So it's this main key point that is this one country that is taking a stand. Do you think it'll affect every other country from this point on? Just like
it's not a it's the a state. State. It's, sorry, a state. It's a state. And it's not a major state either. Because Hawaii being so far away from the rest of the US kind of operates a bit differently.
Mm-hmm.
They still have all the same rules and regulations, but each state's able to govern themselves a bit more. I think seeing this might cause one or two other states, but I don't see it causing a ripple effect to change anything. The most we could really kind of see is the ESRB coming through. So that's the American rating system.
Yep.
What a lot of people are wanting from them is for them to acknowledge what they have caused in their rating system. So in their definition of what makes an M-rated game, so an 18-plus game, is gambling is in there three times.
Mm-hmm.
So it's replication of gambling, in actual gambling, or simulation of gambling. And any of those, if they're in any game, should be rated M.
Mm-hmm.
So that would make nearly everything that's on the App Store, nearly everything that's coming, like this game would be an M-rated game. You'd need an ID saying you're over 18 to buy it.
Mm-hmm.
So that would drastically reduce sales. But for some reason, that's not being done.
Because do you think it's like, here's like a conspiracy theory? Do you think they're like in cahoots with
I would say so, because ESRB isn't a government agency.
Mm-hmm.
They're an independent body.
Right.
Yep.
They get paid to just keep the mouth shut.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Mm.
So it's just really interesting to unpack this now and realize who's not doing their job.
How about you, Adam? On the recent poll that we posted, microtransactions, yes and no. Yeah. You voted yes for microtransactions.
Yes, just for the lols.
Are you sure?
Yes.
I don't like them. For the lols.
Yes.
And this is the problem with the internet.
Pretty much. I think there's too many whales. Like I was talking about in the last few weeks, I think microtransactions are always going to be there. You know, there might be like 1,000 whales who spend 10 grand on the game, and that might be enough just to, you know, make the developers keep microtransactions in the game.
Yeah.
Do you yourself think it should just be out of the game altogether? Or in changed in some way, keeping it like cosmetic? Or do you think even cosmetic stuff...
Cosmetic is fine.
But do you even think that is gambling itself? Because it's a chance to get a skin. You're not always guaranteed.
I think maybe if it wasn't loot box, maybe if it was just like a flat out, you pay $2 to get this outfit.
Mm-hmm.
If they wanted to get around the whole gambling thing, you know, you actually know what you're getting.
Yeah.
You know, $2.50 for this, you know, Halloween outfit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we're seeing this in other games as well now. Like recently, in the last few days even, there's been something similar happen with Guild Wars, with something that's been dubbed as Mount Gate.
Mount Gate.
So in Guild Wars, you purchase skins. So it's like, you want this, you pay this money. Mm-hmm. If you want this, you pay this money. There's no randomization. They've recently introduced randomization into it, which has caused a lot of people to become quite agitated.
Okay.
Because there's something like 40 skins to a box.
Yeah.
And each box costs something like $25. An expansion for that game costs $30. So think about that.
Wow, that's a bit much.
Yeah.
Just for like cosmetics and stuff.
And that's the game is running off cosmetics, but because it's randomized, there's no more choice. And I think that's where people start to get the issue of, I want choice. And that's actually the people who play the game rising up have actually caused the developers to acknowledge it and say, we're not doing this anymore.
Yeah.
So we're actually seeing micro issues like this popping up and then being immediately smashed down because of what's happened with the EA.
But that's what I kind of hope will happen, is because this has now sparked a whole wave, a whole era of something where each, even though this Star Wars took a beating from this micro gambling and stuff.
Yeah.
Companies are now starting, like, other fans are starting to uprise against other companies.
Yeah. Mm. I know, like, they're not standing for it anymore.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting to see this.
I know RuneScape got hit hard.
Yeah.
Where they said they took out the gambling system for one day out of the week.
Mm.
So they've completely, they're eliminating it.
Yeah. Slowly. Yeah.
Slowly. But how a lot of companies earn their money is through the microtransactions. That's the issue.
And that's though. Where I think it's going to see, because the issue's never been with microtransactions.
Mm.
It's been with the randomization of what you get
yeah.
and the loot box phenomenon.
Yeah.
It's not Because I'd be happy to say, are you happy if you go into Heroes of the Storm or League and you buy a hero?
Yeah.
Yeah, because you know what you're getting.
Yeah. If you had to, every time you wanted to buy a hero, you had to buy a loot box that you might get the hero you want.
Especially with 140 heroes in League.
Yeah.
That would take forever if you were just starting
And
out.
The one you want would be the last one you'd get. You know it.
Yeah.
But that's essentially the argument that came about with this Mount Gate issue, and that's what's coming up with this.
Yeah.
So it's issues of pay to win. It's issues of randomization, of not getting what you've paid for in a game that might not even be here in 10 years.
Yeah. Mm. So this whole thing, I just hope it escalates
to the point it's going
where this game just makes it this is the pushing point, but I don't think it'll change at all. No. And that was the 20-minute talk, correct?
Yeah, we've got 3 minutes left.
Did you want to continue anything about, say, this microtransaction talk?
No, I'm good. I'm good. Do you want to move on to the amazing awards of games that do not have microtransactions in them?
Are you saying none of these games have microtransactions?
I don't know, let's have a look.
I know PUBG does.
Does it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn.
I could find a few.
I'm happy to list the ones when we go through
PUBG shouldn't really win anything anyway.
No. So this is the Game Awards that are happening December 7th. The Game Awards are recognized and uphold creative and tech...
Integrity.
Upholds creative and technical excellence in the global video game industry. Our award ceremony, held annually in December, celebrates both game creators and game players. So what we've done is we've each voted what we think is going to win.
Not what we have voted for, because I haven't done that.
No. We can say what we wanted or what we wanted to vote for, what we actually did vote for throughout when we actually list through it.
Just before we continue, though, for those that want to actually watch the Game Awards, it will be between 11:30 a.m. and 2:30 p.m. on Friday the 8th in Australia.
Excellent. That's perfect, actually.
That's really good.
Glad it's not 2 in the morning. So starting off is the big one with the Game of the Year.
Yeah.
So the nominated people for... nominated games.
Games, yes.
For that are Zelda The Breath of Wild, Super Mario Odyssey, PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, Persona 5, and Horizon Zero Dawn.
So this is really interesting, because of all of those, I think all of us have played those. At least, like,
yes.
I don't think there's anything that's missing there.
Collectively, we have all played.
Yes, and you're the only one that's played Horizon.
Yes.
Yeah. Compared to the other ones, do you think Horizon deserves to win?
Like, I think it was very different. It was a new type of game.
Wasn't it just Far Cry?
Oh my god, what is with you and every game being Far Cry?
Because every game is Far Cry now.
Are you saying Legend of Zelda is Far Cry?
Yes, there's towers you unlock.
Oh my god, this guy is just such a Far Cry.
I don't know, the whole towers thing, that like Assassin's Creed started that.
Yeah, I know.
So like, shouldn't it be everything is Assassin's Creed?
It's different, I think. Because Assassin's Creed isn't as open world.
If it's not Far Cry, it's different.
Yeah.
If it is Far Cry, it's
because Assassin's Creed is you're in a city and you unlock portions of the city. In Far Cry, you unlock portions of the world.
Isn't that the same thing?
I don't know. Is it?
Yes.
Okay.
So I voted for Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild, what I think is going to win.
Yes, I think that's going to win as well.
And so did Adam.
Yeah.
Which, that's got to be hands down Game of the Year right there. But Jordan has put Odyssey.
He's not even played Odyssey.
No. I voted for a lot of things. Look, I haven't played Zelda. And I voted for that, of what I think that's going
to
win.
Well, why do you think that's going to win?
Because it's... You talk about it constantly. Yeah. You talk about it constantly.
Yeah.
You talk about it to the point where I kind of want to play the game myself. And I've played a little bit of it.
Yeah, I want you to buy a Switch.
Yeah, definitely. And then we can... you can be Mario, I'll be Hattie. Happy, yeah.
Hattie.
Go Nintendo.
It's a different game. All right. The issue I've got in this is PUBG.
Yes.
PUBG should not be nominated for the Game of the Year if it is still in early access.
Which I agree with that completely, and that's, everyone agrees with that. How is it a game that's in early access being nominated?
I think the people that voted for it didn't understand that it was still early access.
Like, I know it's going to come to Xbox in December.
It will still be early access on Xbox. It's going into Xbox early access.
Are you sure?
I'm fairly certain. I'll double check while we go to the next segment.
Because I'm pretty sure I saw Shroud play a 1.0 testing.
Even if they call it that it's not early access, it's still going to feel like early access.
True. It is a lot of bugginess.
It's just not well optimized. Like, you guys can't even really play it on your laptops.
Right here. PUBG will join Xbox One's early access program.
Disappointing. Yeah. Yeah, I can barely run it. I play it in low settings.
So then how's it going to run on Xbox?
It'll be fine. Yeah. It'll be fine.
Xbox, man, is the most powerful
optimized
console, right?
For Xbox One X.
Oh yeah,
which is now in the top 10 gadgets from Gizmodo for the year, for some reason.
Native 4K on Minecraft.
Continuing on with this, we have Game Direction. This is the award for Games Studios for outstanding creative vision and innovation in game direction and design.
I didn't vote for Zelda in this one because I didn't think that counted.
No. Mitch, you voted for Resident Evil 7 Biohazard.
Yes.
The list, I forgot to say, the list here is Wolfenstein 2, Resident Evil 7 Biohazard, The Legend of Zelda, Odyssey, and Horizon Zero Dawn.
Yes.
I voted for Odyssey.
I agree with your decision. That's what I voted for my own vote.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that Resident Evil 7 made such an impact at the start of the year that the direction it took was very different from the last few entries in the Resident Evil area,
mm-hmm.
whereas Mario and Zelda and even to a lesser degree Wolfenstein were what people expected.
Yeah, true, but I feel like Odyssey had a big of a bit of the, like, a bit, the change was just so different.
It honestly wasn't that different. Like, it was better, it was nostalgic, it was fun, it was beautiful, it was an amazing game, but it is this generation 64.
Right.
Okay. Right? You look at stuff like Resident Evil, that's a completely VR playable horror story.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about the T-virus as much as the others. It's not cheesy, like, yeah, it's not cheesy for the sake of being cheesy. It's actually scary.
It's too scary.
Yeah.
That's why I didn't vote for it. I would not vote for something scary.
Is that so, Adam? Why did you put down Zelda? Same reason again?
It didn't really feel like the previous Zelda games I played. It just felt so different. I don't know what it was.
It's very similar to the first Zelda.
Yeah, but like it just, I don't know, like just some of the previous ones, it just felt very new and fresh.
It was a fresh take on it. I agree. Yeah. I'd be interested. It's going to be one of those two. I don't think Mario's going to.
And because I hadn't played Resident Evil, so that was just in my mind more.
Okay, yeah. Fair enough.
I also chose it because I think Odyssey has to win some kind of category.
It will.
It has to win.
I think it's going to win Best Music.
Interesting.
We'll get to that.
Yes.
We'll get to that.
Best Narrative for Outstanding Storytelling and Narrative Development in a Game.
Yes.
We had What Remains of Edith Finch. I've never heard of that game before. Nier Automata. Hellblade, Senua's Sacrifice, Wolfenstein 2, and Horizon Zero Dawn. You, Mitch, you picked.
I put Nier Automata.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's like a Dark Souls cross.
I've seen it.
JRPG.
Yeah.
And I have heard a lot of the story elements of it. And I've like went through the Wikipedia page after seeing it on here. And I'm like, wow, that's really cool.
Okay.
I think it deserves it. I don't know if it's... I think it's going to win. I don't know if it deserves it, rather.
You think it's going to win?
Yeah.
That's interesting. Because I think Horizon Zero Dawn is going to win. And so does Jordan.
Yep.
Because it's... There's a lot of story there with that entire game. It's... I haven't completely finished the story itself.
Yep.
But I know from the get-go, starting as a young... You start as a young age. And then you fly through until you're a lot grown up. And then the person you were looked after is just gone.
So there's a lot of... I know
it's a deep storytelling right there.
The story is quite in-depth from what I understand of it.
Yeah.
But I think it's something that we've seen before.
Before?
Not in gaming, but definitely in
You've
cinema.
You've seen every like game narrative story before. There's
yeah, I know.
Fresh and new, like Zelda.
Yeah.
That's fresh and new, right?
I voted for Wolfenstein 2 just because of all the Hitler scenes. I thought that was hilarious.
I'm loving that that's causing controversy and that people who identify as Nazis now are offended by it.
Well, didn't they like
the scenes were so good.
Didn't they take out like the mustache of Hitler just like to stop that whole Nazi thing?
I don't know.
In the cutscenes I saw, I need to
that up because I feel like they 100% did. continue on, best art direction for outstanding creative and/or technical achievement in artistic design and animation. They are Destiny 2, Cuphead, Zelda, Persona 5, and Horizon Zero Dawn.
So I did Cuphead.
Yes.
Because, oh my God.
I also did Cuphead because, yeah, of course.
That game, they've been working on that since 2012,
mm-hmm.
and every frame is a drawing.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Back to the old cell shading style type
of thing. Yeah, everything.
And Jordan also picks that, but not Adam.
No.
He went for
Breath of the Wild. Yeah.
feel like your tactic now is it has to win some kind of category.
He'll be right,
right
somewhere. Yeah, no, I don't think Zelda really deserves that either because it's very similar to Twilight Princess.
Well, I think that Cuphead like should win, but I think like Breath of the Wild will win for some reason.
Okay, yeah. That's fine.
Best score and music for outstanding music, inclusive of score, original song, and or licensed soundtrack.
Yes, so I have points to make for this. Mm-hmm. You'll like this.
Destiny 2, Cuphead, Nier Automata. I hope
it's Automata. Yeah.
Automata. The Legend of Zelda, Breath of the Wild, Super Mario Odyssey, and Persona 5. Mm. Mitch, what are your points?
So I voted for Cuphead, where you and Adam voted for Zelda.
Yes. Yeah.
So my argument is there's no music in Zelda.
Do you agree with this, Adam?
No.
There is no music in that game.
What about all like the...
Yeah, there's music at points,
yeah,
but there's no good...
But like all the as you're roaming through the mountains and you just hear like a little soundtrack. Just yeah, like an ominous...
Yeah, it's a jingle.
Yeah.
That still counts as music.
It does count as music, but I think what happened in Cuphead is so much better.
It's just...
All of that music, the 1930s swing stuff that was all originally composed for this game, deserves to win more than the chimes in Zelda.
But Cuphead is like a much smaller game as well.
It's not. We're not marking it on size.
But like you need a lot more music in Zelda.
Yes.
Like
again, quantity, not quality.
Yeah.
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 Also, Zelda didn't have a lot of music in it.
But when it did, it was good.
It was, yes.
Exactly.
So I'm interested to see if Odyssey wins, because it probably will.
Mm-hmm. Best audio design, recognize the best in-game audio and sound design.
And that's where I think Zelda should win.
Okay.
Because the sound effects and those chimes is audio design, not music.
Okay. I just think of like when you're using a weapon, like the sound that the weapon uses.
Yeah.
That comes under in-game audio, I
assume. Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
But I'm just interested to see what actually turns out there.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think I'm right.
I can't believe, Adam, you have picked Breath of the Wild for every single game of the category here.
Just be lucky that Assassin's Creed wasn't in there for nearly everyone.
Oh, it's coming up, and I'm assuming you did vote for it, I'm assuming.
You'd be surprised.
I love that sentence. I'm assuming you did vote for it, I'm assuming.
Needed two, just in case.
The assumption.
For the audio design, Jordan picked Resident Evil 7. It makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
Being a very spooky game.
God, the foley in that game would have been insane.
That's why I never want to play it. And you guys kept saying, yeah, Joel, we'll get you to play it sometime.
I wish I knew someone with the PSVR.
Yeah, I'm glad I don't. And I chose Odyssey because, you know.
It is beautiful.
It's great. And it has to win some kind of category.
It will.
Best performance awarded for an individual voice over acting.
Yes, I only voted for.
And or performance capture.
Do you want to read these and then I'll tell you why?
We had Melina Jurgens from Hellblade as Jurgens. Senua. Okay, do you want to read them, Mitch? Sorry.
No, if I was going to read them like Jordan, it would be Jurgens.
That's what I mean.
So, Melina Jurgens for Hellblade as Senua. Laura Bailey in Uncharted The Lost Legacy as Nadine Ross. Claudia Black in Uncharted The Lost Legacy as Chloe Fraser. Brian Bloom in Wolfenstein's 2 as BJ Blazkowicz, and Ashley Birch in Horizon Zero Dawn as Aloy.
I'm glad you read all those. I would never have gotten through on any of those. Now, I picked Laura Bailey.
Yes, as did I.
And so did Adam.
Yeah. Yes, I only did because that's the only person I know.
Yeah. See, I did because I know the voice actor and they are amazing in a lot of games.
I didn't recognize any of the other names, so...
You just picked it just to
I went the one person I've met.
I agree with you with Chloe Fraser. It's also really good. She was in Uncharted 2. Continue on. Games for impact. For a thought-provoking game with a profound pro-social meaning or message. A lot of these games I've never heard of.
No.
That was my biggest issue.
Life is Strange is the only one that I'd heard of.
And so did I.
I don't think there was a lot of impact in that game, from what I've heard.
I never played the story, but it's the only one I played. Heard of.
Yeah.
So I just picked that. The choices were Please Knock on My Door, Night in the Woods, Life is Strange, Bury Me, My Love, What Remains of Edith Finch, and Hellblade, Senua's Sacrifice.
Mm.
Jordan picked Please Knock on My Door.
Yep.
Never heard of that game.
I have no idea what that is.
I don't think Jordan's heard of that.
No,
either.
I think he liked it.
And you picked What Remains of Edith Finch.
So Edith Finch is about a family who's got a curse that only one person from each generation survives. Mm-hmm. Everyone else dies.
Oh, man, it's a terrible curse.
So this is Edith Finch is like the last, it's the second game by the people that made it, but it's like, it's the last, it's about the last line, the last person in the last line. And I, from what I've heard of it, it's quite good.
Okay.
It's not as good as like the cancer, that dragon cancer from last year. But
best ongoing game awarded for a game for outstanding development or of ongoing content that evolves the player's experience over time.
Jordan surprised me here with his vote.
So did
I. Yeah. I was like, what?
I haven't heard anything from that. Okay, so the games that were announced were Warframe, Rainbow Six Siege, Overwatch, Grand Theft Auto Online, Destiny 2, and PUBG. Jordan went for Grand Theft Auto. I've not heard anyone develop anything for that game in months.
Yeah.
Now, it does. They always release new content that that is free.
Yes.
For the online gaming
so community. So do all of the others.
Yes. Yeah. So it is always updating with new content.
Maybe he just didn't want all of us to go Overwatch.
Why, though? That's his game.
Maybe he's getting over it.
Overwatch?
That was not meant to be a pun.
I'm sure. Sure.
I just feel like Overwatch does it better. Like, you actually, like, hear about it. People in the community talking about the new updates and Overwatch.
We're an unofficial Blizzard podcast. We talk about Overwatch.
Of course, yeah.
I would have picked Destiny 2 if it actually had the first DLC.
Or any content. Or any content from the
now,
first one.
So, yeah. Best mobile game for the best game played on a dedicated mobile device.
Yes.
We had Fire Emblem Heroes, Super Mario Run, Old Man's Journey, Monument Valley 2, and Hidden Folks.
Yes. So, do you want to go through why? So, the only one you all decided. No, actually. Jordan and Adam, for some reason, went Fire Emblem. No one played that after week one.
That was that, and Super Mario Run was the only one, but I just didn't like the whole Super Mario was like free and then you had to like pay. I thought that was really weird.
The $15 to get the rest of the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I chose it, because it was so well known and so well marketed.
Yeah.
That I think people bought it, played it, and are going to vote for that.
I'd be interested to see if you're right. I went for Monument Valley 2 because Monument Valley 1 was amazing.
Okay.
It's this really pretty little puzzler.
And okay.
It's in the vein of like Journey or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Best handheld game for the best game played on a dedicated portable gaming system. We had Poochie and Yoshi Woolly World, Monster Hunter Stories, Metroid Samus Returns, Ever Oasis, and Fire Emblem Echoes Shadow of Valentia.
So the reason I went for Samus was because of ASM.
That's the same reason I picked that as well.
Yeah, because the remake of another Metroid 2 remake, I think was called.
It was nominated, then it was taken down because of this game.
Yeah.
Maybe this game will be the winner of that.
Or you'll get the opposite effect.
Yeah.
So I'm interested to see where that goes. And Jordan went for the Yoshi one.
I'm assuming he picked that just not to be in the same category with all of that.
There are so many of these. You want to do all of these?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Look, I won't say the names then. We'll just say who we actually voted for, just so it skims through the time.
Okay.
Best VR AR game for the best game experience played in a virtual or augmented reality?
Yep.
I picked Superhot VR.
It's just another game, but with a VR version.
So is every other game on this.
Yes. Also, who put LOL after Skyrim? Did you do that?
That was me. Skyrim wasn't in there, but I had to put it in because I felt it was too good to pass up.
I'm glad it's not in there.
Okay. Jordan went for Star Trek Bridge Crew. I was going to, but then I thought about it more because that wasn't a very good game. That was basically a demo.
But it was fun. It looked fun and interesting as a VR game.
It did look fun and interesting. Doesn't make it a good game.
Okay. And you picked Resident Evil 7 Biohazard.
Yes.
Adam.
Because they did a full Resident Evil game in VR that worked.
Best action game for the best game in the action genre focused on combat.
Yes.
Adam picked Destiny 2.
Yes. Because what do you do in Destiny? You just shoot things, which is combat. That's all. That's literally the only point.
Is the combat varied or you just shoot things?
You just shoot things.
So it doesn't sound like very
Mitch
good combat.
Mitch picks Cuphead.
Again, you just shoot things.
You just shoot things. And I picked Wolfenstein 2, so did Jordan, because, yes, you just shoot Nazis.
Yeah.
You shoot things. That's what action games are.
Yeah.
Prey is you shoot things. Neo is you just slash things.
Maybe swords will win this year. We'll see what happens.
Just give it to all the games.
Everyone wins?
Yeah, everyone
like
wins.
Like a participation
medal?
Yeah,
because you just shoot things. Good
hey,
work.
Your games are only action. Well done.
Yeah.
Best action-adventure game for the best action-adventure game combined combat with traversal and puzzle solving.
This was easy for me. No Breath of the Wild, because I mean, you go from This one was an actual, like, logical decision.
Sure.
Because you go from, you know, killing a lizard to solving a shrine.
It is literal action and adventure, yes.
Yeah. Like, it's
that's all it is.
Yeah.
I'm so surprised I didn't pick Assassin's Creed Origins in this category.
No, because, sure, there is combat, but the puzzle solving is very minimal. Maybe, like, 20% of the game.
All right.
Yeah.
There's no adventure. It's just Far Cry.
I picked Uncharted Lost Legacy because it is...
That's a story game.
You have combat.
Yes.
You have puzzle. And you have adventure.
Yes.
That's exactly what this category is. It doesn't matter if it's... it's Uncharted. That's what it is.
Okay.
It will win.
Thank you. Thank you.
And Jordan picked Odyssey.
Again, he hasn't played it.
Best role-playing game for the best game designed with rich player character customization and progression.
I agree with Jordan Adams' pick of South Park in this, because I think that is one of the better RPGs.
Yep.
But I don't think it's enough of an RPG, because okay. RPG fans are hardcore RPG fans.
Yes. Yeah. And that is why I picked Divinity Original Sin 2.
Which is just D&D.
It is a hardcore RPG, turn-based action D&D styled game.
Yes.
And that's exactly what this category is. But you picked Persona 5.
I picked Persona 5 because it's a JRPG, which I view as the better kind of RPG.
This was the hardest category for me because I've played 4 out of the 5 games.
Yes. And nobody voted for Final Fantasy 15 because it's terrible.
It's not bad. It's a good game. Have you played it?
No.
The fishing's amazing.
I'm just really annoyed by the mobile game ads. So it makes me mad.
Best fighting game for the best game designed primarily around head-to-head combat.
I just went Nintendo. ARMS is a fighting game. If okay. Super Smash was on there, it would have won.
You went Injustice 2, Adam.
Yeah.
So did Jordan. And I went with Tekken 7 because Tekken 7 is the fighting game. Keep emphasizing a lot of these things.
Okay. It's okay. You can emphasize as much as you want.
I'm Chandler. I'm just emphasizing the things. Best family game for the best game appropriate for family play. Adam, you went Mario Kart.
Yes.
Just that's not good for families.
Why?
Why?
Because they hate each other afterwards.
It's all fun and games for the race.
That's like Monopoly, you know?
It's not a family game.
I just remember, like, childhood, like, you know, there was, like, you know, the four of us cousins and we would all be playing, you know, just Mario Kart and stuff. So it was just a memory thing for me, mainly.
The reason I didn't go for Mario Kart was because it's a re-release.
Okay.
Because it's 8 Deluxe, it's not. Something that's come out. It's something that's come out before.
Yeah,
I had this on the Wii U.
Jordan picked Mario plus Rabbids Kingdom Battle.
I don't know how you could play that with a family.
And you and I picked Odyssey.
Yes, the best co-op game to come out in years.
You played. You gave me the controller to play as Hattie, and it was great.
It was.
I loved it.
Is it just co-op, or can you do 4 people?
Co-op only.
Okay, yeah. When I think family, I think like 4 people.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
it's okay. These are just essentially all the Nintendo games that came out.
Yeah.
Best strategy game for best focus on real-time or turn-based strategy gameplay.
So why isn't your Divinity? RPG game in there?
I have no idea why Divinity is not on this list.
Which, okay, maybe it's multiple characters.
Which shocks me. So I went with XCOM 2, like the DLC that was for that.
So I didn't know if DLC was available to be a game.
Well, Uncharted The Lost Legacy
is... It's standalone.
Yes. Wouldn't this be standalone?
I don't know.
I'm assuming yes.
Okay.
Because well, it's dominated.
I'm glad you know so much about the thing you voted for.
Adam went with Halo Wars 2.
Yes.
And no, are you aware that Halo Wars 1 was garbage?
Are you aware that Halo Wars 2 is also garbage?
One of my mates would be very unhappy with that. He played so much in that. He reckons it was the best game ever. So.
RTSs are dead.
Yeah.
And Mitch, you went with Mario plus Rabbids.
I think
Kingdom Battle, the game that you hate and will never play.
I still think it's going to win. Because people are... stupid for that damn story of the the Ubisoft guys being like crying,
but like that game is just XCOM,
yes,
but cartoons,
yes, so it appeals to kids.
Oh boy,
so it's gonna win.
No. Best sports racing game for the best traditional and not traditional sports and racing game. Neither did I, because I picked FIFA 18.
It's not going to win.
Game of the year.
Yes, it will.
It's not.
That last award ceremony didn't like FIFA win because it was just...
I didn't watch the... I tune out anytime the sports game because it's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
You went with Forza and
yes,
Jordan went with
racing.
Pro Evolution Soccer 2018.
I like this, like, oh, this will win. There's no other soccer games.
Best multiplayer for outstanding online multiplayer gameplay and design, including co-op massively multiplayer experiences.
This one annoyed me a little bit.
Yeah, so I can tell by your voting.
Adam, you went with Destiny 2.
Yes.
And everyone else went with PUBG.
I refuse to vote for PUBG on this.
I agree with you that PUBG is early access, but it is a good multiplayer game. So that's why I think it's going to win. That's why Mitch picked it as well.
Yeah. It's, again, what I think is going to win, not what I'm voting for.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Most anticipated game awarded to an upcoming game that has been shown significant ambition and promise.
Which is Red Dead Redemption 2.
No. Which is The Last of Us 2.
But we've only seen that in...
nods. I'm getting nods. Here we go.
And Monster Hunter World. I get Monster Hunter World as well.
It's just very niche, I think.
It is, but they're crazy. Monster Hunter fans are insane.
Yeah.
And I love them, but they're crazy.
Two more pages.
All right. Nearly done.
Best independent game for an outstanding creative and technical achievement in games that made outstanding the traditional publisher system.
I should have looked at this before I printed it. We all voted for Cuphead.
Yes.
Like, nothing else is going to win.
Yeah.
Because it is, like... Out of all of that, Cuphead was an amazing game. You said it was made back in when? 2000...
It started in 2012.
Yeah. So, from an independent... You know, how many people were on it? Like, what, two
or
three?
I don't know that one.
So, yeah. Cuphead's going to win.
Yeah.
Best student game awarded the best student project created at a high school or college level.
Yes. So, why did you guys make the decisions you did?
I picked Impulsion because I saw the photos that were lined up on the actual website.
Yep.
And it looked like the most advanced first-person shooter that someone can make.
In high school. Yeah.
That's why I picked it.
Interesting. What about you?
Falling Sky just looked pretty cool. I just Googled them all. Falling Sky just looked the coolest.
I always like the gritty horror games. That's why I went Hallowed. Mm-hmm. And that kind of platforming nature of it was really cool.
Mm-hmm. Trending gamer for a streamer, influencer, or media member who has made an important impact on the industry this calendar year.
Easy. Okay. I want to just preface this. But the next 1, 2, 3, 4 sections I did, I literally only voted randomly.
Okay.
Except
really?
For... No.
Did you not know anybody?
Knew none of these people.
Okay.
I know. Is Dr. Disrespect the guy with the fake mustache and hat?
Correct.
Okay, then...
It's not a hat, it's more like hair.
It's like a weird
mullet-looking thing, yeah.
Yeah, that's garbage.
I highly recommend you watch Dr. Disrespect because he is really
so good.
He's so good. And Jordan picks that as well, he agrees.
37-inch vertical leap.
I don't get it.
He is the 1993 to 1994 video game champion.
Back to back.
That's 2 years.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's the whole point.
That's the joke.
I went for Steven Spawn or Able Gamers because I think his last name was amazing.
Okay.
And that's it.
Best esports game for the game that has delivered the best overall esports experience to players.
Because I went Rocket League because I think it's a better sport than soccer.
Okay.
And it's different to the others because I expect half the others to win.
Yes.
Anyway. So I went the one that I thought.
Adam and I went with League of Legends because, hands down, it is the esports game.
Yeah, most watched.
Yeah.
Every year.
And then Jordan went with Counter-Strike Global Offense. Why didn't he pick Overwatch?
Maybe he's really going off Overwatch.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's quite surprising. Like, he actually is over Overwatch.
It's okay. He can't defend himself, so we'll keep going.
Best esports player. The esports player judged to be the most outstanding performer in 2017.
I went literally the only name I know.
Faker.
Yes.
SKT1
League
Legends.
You guys keep talking about him, and I just don't care about SKT1 at the moment.
And Jordan went with Marcelo Coldzera David for SK Gaming in CSGO.
If it wasn't for Faker, they wouldn't have made it to the finals. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, but then he cried because he lost.
But he carried the team. That's why.
It was their fault that he would cry. He won like 3 other times.
He didn't care.
Well, speaking of that, I've actually got some points for the next one. For the best esports.
Okay.
Esports team. The esports team judged to be the most outstanding for performance in 2017.
So Samsung Galaxy was not on this list. I am not sure why.
So for the listeners who don't follow the League of Legends Worlds, Samsung Galaxy beat SKT1 in the finals.
Yes, they also beat
everyone else.
Longzhu Gaming. Mm-hmm. Longzhu Gaming 3-0. It's the way that they did it. Longzhu Gaming was, they won the LCK Summer, undefeated in groups, and everyone had them to win the whole entire tournament. Everyone thought they're going to finals easy.
Mm-hmm.
Samsung comes in, beats them 3-0. Everyone's like, what the hell just happened?
So, and I like that you added in Samsung Galaxy as the one you're voting for.
Yes.
So in your reality, there's a chance that they're going to go, of all of the five we've submitted, it's Samsung Galaxy.
Yeah. They beat...
And then no one comes up on stage because they weren't nominated.
Yeah. They beat 3-1 WE, who went 3-1 in group stages. And then they beat SKT, who has won every single Worlds they've competed in, taking down the Demon Faker, making him cry 3-0.
And for more esports talk, tune into our other sister show, Live Action Replay, which just had its first episode. And this is the point where I tell Adam to stop talking about esports on the non-esports show.
I guess we're going ahead there, the best debut indie game.
No, we didn't talk about who everyone else voted.
Yeah.
Jew went for Cloud9. I went for SKT because the only person I know is on that one.
Okay.
And Jordan went for Team Liquid because I think it's got a pretty horse. I think that's why he voted.
On you, Jordan. Best debut indie game recognized a new independent studio that released its first game in 2017.
Yes.
I'm so surprised, Mitch. Jordan, Adam, and I went for Cuphead.
Yes.
Best game that's going to hands down win. But you went for Golf Story.
Golf Story is amazing. And it's all set
so
in
Golf Story, in your mind, is better than Cuphead.
I think it's a better debut game.
Than Cuphead?
Yes.
You've been, like, amping up this entire game.
Yes.
And now you go for a Golf Story I've never heard you even talk about once.
It's okay, because Golf Story, Golf Story is independent developers. They weren't pushed by Microsoft. They weren't pushed by anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
No funding. It's a better quality product for what they had at their what resources they had.
Mm-hmm.
And to be nominated up against Cuphead, who had the full backing of Microsoft and E3 for like 4 years.
They haven't really been Microsoft with 4 years, have they?
Yeah.
Okay, interesting.
We've been seeing it for so long. It's insane.
Yeah, with all that backing, I think that's what's going to make them win it.
Oh, yeah, they're going to win, but I want Golf Story to win.
And that's all the nominations for the Video Game Awards.
Yes, we will post on our Facebook page when that's happening. We might even do a live little comment thing or invite everyone in our group to chat about it because it's going to be interesting.
Mm. Oh, I'm going to watch it and I'm going to be like, yes, I am winning this. predictions.
For Joel. Who do you think's going to win this? His prediction for the winner of the predictions.
Can I vote for myself?
No.
Oh.
I think Jordan's going
to
win.
I'm going to say it's you, Mitch, because you've won like every prediction thing we've ever done before.
Yes, I agree, but I'm voting for Jordan because he's not here to defend himself.
Okay.